If you'll go to Romans 8, 28 with me this morning, if you would, we'll see what the Lord's got for us. I know we've all thought of the question before, why me, Lord? And I know there's a song, too, that I think, you know, why me, Lord? And it looks more like, you know, why did you save me? What made me any different? What was the opportunity? You know, why did I receive this precious gift? Why did I, you know, what made me step out? Why did the Holy Spirit deal with me? And I looked at it too from that standpoint and thought about that on the way back and I also looked at, we asked that question a lot too when we had these prayer requests this morning. We asked, you know, why me? Why has this happened to me? Why has this happened to us? Why has this happened to the church? And I thought that back home too. They'd tell me about, you know, someone that had passed away, or somebody happened to some family or something. I'd say, boy, I remember that family and that dad. He did this or that, and so we had time to talk about those things as well. So that's what I want to look at this morning. Is I guess that'd be the title of the lesson: Why Me, Lord? But from the standpoint of why sometimes. Maybe we might call it suffering or hurt or pain may come to us individually or maybe to families. And there's examples in the Bible, and I think it makes us stronger as Christians and more for a witness. So I've got, I don't know, three or four examples, and the Lord's help, we'll look at those this morning. But Romans 8:28 is where I wanted to start at, and said, I better put my glasses on here. I'm going to try to read without them. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You know, and as I thought about that, and we'll stop there reading, I got other places we'll go to, and you can go ahead and be turning over to Jonah if you would want to, Jonah chapter 1. But while you're turning, I think about, you know, in our lives sometimes, and I think about this a lot, especially when I was in the hospital and down there, and Pastor was down there some, and with me, and we'd talk, and or Kim or others be visiting, and it goes back to my brother and things we talk about. And, you know, you think about a ship, you know, off the shore drifting. You know, I know Brother Merv used to sing a song and talk about that and drifting too far from the shore. And I think, is that our lives? Are we meant to just be a boat that just sets out in the water and drifts as Christians? Are we just supposed to drift along just back and forth, you know, kind of like seaweed would? You know, in the water, if you've seen it, if you've been to the ocean or even waded out there some, you see some weeds growing or seaweed, and how it just kind of drifts. And however the waves go, that's the way it has to go. But you think about a boat or a ship, you know, you got a motor. And if nothing else, even before we had motors, you know, you had sails and you had a rudder. And that's what I wanted to get to. That rudder is what turned the ship, gave you the direction. Which way you needed to go, even when the waves were turning, at least you could turn the bow, you could turn the direction of the ship. As I read that there, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I think, you know, I don't see how a person could think that we're just set adrift once we're saved. But sometimes bad things do happen. And what we'd call bad things, or I guess hurtful things, or suffering does happen. And as we look, and as you turn there, I'll turn over to see, I think it was over here in Acts. You stay where you're at there in Jonah, but Acts 9. I'm going to have to keep my glasses on this morning. I've been so used to pulling them off and having them off here during the week that I'm starting to get into that trend again, but so I go over to Acts chapter 9, said, But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Of course, that's referring to Paul. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so as I read that, and I think about that drifting too far from the shore, are we meant just to drift along in life's way? Or is that rudder and those sails up? We catch a breeze blowing across the deck of the wind. If you've ever been on a sailboat, that's how it is. Those sails, they'll stay just flat there for a while, then a little breeze come along, and you can't hardly feel it on your face, but boy, those sails will feel out way out. And you got a guy back in the back, and you hope he knows what he's doing, and he'll be a wooden rudder in one of those old wooden sailing ships. It's kind of like sailing ships, I call them, and they'll turn them, and the ship will turn up on its side a little, and go the direction, and they'll use that wind to go whichever way they need to go, or whichever way the rudder turns them. And in our life, that would be the way God would have us to go. Sometimes, though, you have waves that you have to overcome. You have to kind of jump and turn, and you can't go directly into it, into the wind on occasions. In other words, everybody's life is different. Because you look around, and we were on the ocean one time and could see other sailing ships, and it seemed like we all wanted to go to the same port, but we all took a different route. Well, we all ended up there. And so that's kind of what I want to look at. So if you go over in Jonah, one of the things I want to look at this morning is, when you think about all things work together for good, is sometimes, I guess, things happen in our life or hurtfulness, or we think sufferings, and they happen, which is the first thing we think of, they would happen to draw us to God. If we were away from God or get our attention. And if we look here, here's a perfect example, Jonah. Jonah flees God. Let's go to Jonah 1. Of course, that's where. Let's go down to, I said, verse 9. Let's say verse 5. And read this. And then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. So what had happened here? It said, but verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind to the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ships like to be broken. So in other words, they got in trouble. Sometimes that can lead us toward God. It said, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship and in the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down inside of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. In other words, like everybody, everybody chip in. We're not sure which God to believe at this point is what they're saying the mariner was, but everybody chip in. Everybody cry out to their own God. And they woke Jonah up and said, you need to cry out to your God too. See if that might be the cause. Said, we need to get out of this. If not, we're all going to die. We're going to perish. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may not know whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? So sometimes you don't know why things happen, but they do. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And so, see, sometimes we're tested, I guess, or what we may call, or we're hurt. When I say hurt, not necessarily physically hurt, but sufferings can draw us closer to God, as we saw in this example here. These men were on the ship, and got really rough, it was going to break apart, they knew they were going to perish. They were seasoned men of the sea. They knew what it meant when times got rough, or when the seas got rough like they did here. You know, I think of an example I was given one time, been years ago, about an airplane, I guess the pilot came over the airplane and said, look, we're having difficulties. We're going to have to land, you know, going to make an emergency landing. And said, everybody needs to brace themselves. And they said somebody had jumped up and said, you know, somebody do something. Said, anybody can pray, do something. And said that there was a Catholic lady on there and said she got her beads and started rubbing her beads. And said there was an Episcopalian. He got his little prayer book out and started reciting prayers, another service reciting hymns, and ones that had never been to church and unsaved and fearful were crying out and put their face down in their hands and didn't know what to do and trying to pray. And they said there was a Baptist man up front, and he took his hat off and went through the aisles taking up an offering. And I say that to say people approach same way with these men here, approach problems differently. They approach, have different views, I guess, when things occur, happen in their lives. But hurt sometimes can draw us toward God or to God. And I say that this morning as Christians. Sometimes we wonder why. You know, you'd like to have a morning when we'd stand up and you'd ask for prayer request, and they'd say, well, there's not any. There's no one sick. There's no one suffering. No one's had a heart attack. No one's, Jimmy Doyle's telling me about his, I think he said it was his uncle that had a heart attack this past week, and was going to be fine. He's going to put him on medications. And I know Marge had one not long ago. And, you know, you'd like to think that you could stand up one morning and everybody in here, you would think as hard as you could think, and you couldn't think of a single person. But that's not the world we live in. That's not going to happen as long as we live in these fleshly bodies. But sometimes that happens to draw us to God, whether it's us that is happening to ourselves, or in the example I gave of the mariners, who they all prayed out to their God, or as a little, I guess, story that, of course, made up story about the airplane and the Baptist guy taking up the offering. Everybody approached that situation in their own way. But the bottom line is God's in charge, and he's in control. That goes back to that rudder on that ship, whichever and however it turns, and those sails are up, and the wind catches it, which direction you go. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Brother Thurman, you're right. There will be a day when nobody will be able to think of anything. That's right. Yeah. Yep. That's right. There's going to be trouble. Amen. And we won't. And we can rejoice in that. And I wanted us to look at this morning, and it applies to all of us. But yeah, you're right. There'll come a day when we won't have to worry about these things anymore. And so let's go on and look at another one. You think about hurt or sufferings. As I jotted down, I thought about this, and this came to my mind after the situation I told you of, you know, when I had to dive and catch my dog or the girl's dog in the yard, you know, and people drove by and just looked at me, you know, and of course they didn't know what was wrong. They thought I was just rolling around on the ground, I guess, after a heavy rain playing with the dog. I don't know, but I said hurt draws us closer to others, draws us closer to each other, makes our fellowship tighter. In other words, get a tight-knit group. We've got, it does. And I jotted these few things down. I thought, you know what, that would mean less selfishness. That would apply. Think more of others than you do yourself. You have more love for others, even though we try to cling to family, friends, and church. And what I wrote down, it says, you see a person, you think about this, and see, I've said this several times, so I'm applying this to myself. I used to never think about how people would get in and out of a building in a wheelchair. As long as I saw a ramp and a painted little blue sign and a handicap thing, I think, well, that must be all they need, until I got in one. And then I started paying a little bit more attention. And then I started, well, I said, wait a second, that doesn't work. Or I started paying attention too to why the some handicap signs say van accessible and some do not. I said, now I see. Van accessible, we've got to have that extra space. We've got to get a wheelchair out in. And I tell you that because it draws us close to others, not only in our fellowship with each other as Christians, but also draws us closer to others in our community, others we can be a witness to or have someone to talk with or maybe mention something to someone. And as I jotted these things down, you might see a person on the street. I remember in Maryland, there was a guy who he would lay on the, I guess it's where the heat would come up, the steam would come up through the grate that was in the sidewalk, and he would lay there to stay warm during the winter time. And I remember going to work, and people go around him, or some people just step over him. You know, he'd be trying to wrap up in newspapers. Nobody would ever stop and speak with him. I used the wheelchair example. I thought about someone who's blind and not able to see, or any of life's wounded. When I say any of life's wounded, people maybe are battling things every day physically in their life that you may see or may run across. And we tend to shy away from until it hits us or hits our family. And then it draws us closer to them as well. And it said, you know, that's the same way it should be once we get saved. Then we should see the lost in a different way than we did before. You think about that. It's hard to put yourself in somebody else's shoes when you're not in their shoes, and we can't. And we can have, we talked this week at some of the students, and some had never been in the hospital before, so some of the patients we saw, and we talked about sympathy versus empathy. One is, you know, having the feelings towards someone and feeling sorry for them, and other ones, they've worn those shoes. They've been there. And so we talked about that, and I said, you know, as we think through that, as I'd mentioned these things to them too, I said, as you go across life's wounded and what's happened to different people, you know, People have knee replacements, hip replacements. Others can talk to those about that and say, oh, boy, when I had my knees replaced, and I had one at a time, or I had a hip replacement, or whatever it may be. And they can, I guess, sympathize with them. They know what they've had to go through. And, you know, but us as Christians, and we should be drawn closer together now since we're saved, based upon the fact of what Christ did for us, but also remembering where we were. And as we look out into the world and see how people act and say, oh, I can't believe it, and how they dress now and how they talk and the speech and the television and just the politics and just how everything's going on, remember that we used to be part of that and walk in that world as well before we were saved. So not only does, I guess, sufferings or hurt can draw us to God, it can draw us to others. You know, I think about what church does for the Salvation Army, feeding those folks down on Sunday when we do that. Draws us closer to them. Meeting people that we normally wouldn't have met. Meeting people we may have felt sorry for. Some of the, I guess as I mentioned here, I mentioned as life's wounded, but people that now the church gets to interact with. You may not personally, but somebody here may, or you may work on the little gift bags or prepare a meal for them. That's an interaction you wouldn't have had before. Next, let's go on to the next one. It says, sometimes sufferings or hurts brings out our best. Go over to Philippians, if you would. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 12. And I've heard this before, and I'm sure you had too. Christians are like tea. I love tea. I love to drink tea. I hardly ever drink a soft drink anymore. I used to drink the Mellow Yellow, so I really liked them, and I don't know, I guess just treatments and stuff, and having to drink a lot of water, then they'd allow me to have tea or coffee, and I guess just I kind of got stuck with tea, and that's how I'm with, But, you know, Christians are like tea, and I've heard that before. It said, we're like a tea. It said, you really can't get anything out of it until you heat the water up, and that's right. Think about a tea bag. You try to get a tea bag out and put it in a cup of cold water, you're not going to get much out of it. But you heat that water up on the stove, get it boiling. I like to kind of steep or brew my own tea. You put that tea over in there or just that tea bag down in there, and you wait just a little bit. You'll start having some tea. You'll start having something that's palatable, something you can taste. You'll start getting the flavor, the good stuff out of that bag. And you know, Christians, aren't we that way too? You know, sometimes until you start getting a little water, a little hot, a little warm in our lives, that's when you get the best of us. That's when you see the best. That's why even within the church, sufferings within the church, you say, well, I've got a lot of people sick in the church or a lot of visiting to do or visitation. You think about that, though, as a church as a whole, yeah, we may be getting a little warm, getting a little hot, that tea bags, you're starting to see the best. And I know Pastor said that before about when we have a death in the church or someone sick, how the women come together and they prepare the meals and people visit and they do what they need and can for the folks. And I know I'm thinking about even my own self there with my leaves in my yard, and you know, someone comes over and cleans those up for me, not once but twice, and gets my gutters cleaned, and I'm sure they do that for others. In other words, that tea bag or water gets a little warm around the church and gets a little hot. Not necessarily in hot water and trouble, but in other words, it brings out the best in us. And it also, sometimes in our sickness, in our sufferings, it brings out the best in us. Brings us closer to God. And as we look here, and as chapter 4, let's see what I say here. I think verses 12. It said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I tried to think about examples of individuals. And I know in the first one I used an example of a plane, and I'm not sure that's true. I'd heard that before. And the second one we talked about hurt drawing us closer to others, and I thought about Salvation Army and how it drew the church into helping them. And I meant to mention how like people with... Who was that fella? He used to play Fox fella. I'm not sure. He does a lot for Parkinson's disease now, but he never did until he got Parkinson's disease himself. Yeah, there you go, Michael J. Fox. And I try to do what I can now on campus and with the parking committee. They'll ask questions about moving people and parking spaces for handicap, and I never paid attention to that before. So in this example here, as we look, and hurt brings out our best, and I talked about Christians are being like tea bags, and our best comes out when the water gets a little warm, it gets a little hot, or when we're really needed for something, we step up to the plate, so to speak. My dad used to say that in baseball. I was always afraid to hit when I was little, 7 or 8 years old. I was afraid I'd get hit. He'd always say, son, you got to step up closer to the plate if you're going to hit the ball. You can't hit it outside that chalk line. You know, they draw that chalk line around the plate, you know, for the batter's box. I'd want to stand way out there and thought I could stick the bat out over the plate. He'd say, time to step up to the plate, son, if you're going to play. And I think about what I was going to mention here was in medicine, and Mr. Grizzle might remember Louis Pasteur. Not that Mr. Grizzle lived back in the 1800s. It could be taken that way. That's what I meant. What I was getting to was that he might remember, and you probably remember, some of you, I really messed up now. Some of you, he'll have another birthday next month. Some of you may, you know, you think about immunizations and treatments of viral illnesses and colds and things and smallpox. Well, Louis Pasteur is the one who developed all that. He was way ahead of his time, and he was actually, you know, in Europe doing all this. Well, he didn't develop any of that, and I didn't realize that until I started looking into it, until he had a stroke at the age of 46 and become partially paralyzed. It was only after that time that I guess the cream rose to the top, so to speak, and then he really put forth his efforts into trying to cure other diseases and sickness, knowing that within himself he could do nothing for his stroke, but he might be able to do something for others. And so sometimes hurt and sufferings brings the cream to the top or brings out our best. It gets the tea out of the tea bag. Water gets a little warm, gets a little hot sometimes. And then, you know, there's other times we think about it. And, you know, my nose always runs when I get up here anyway. Seems like, more seems like today. But as we look at it, I jotted another one down. It says hurt draws us, can draw us to God. Suffering can draw us closer to God. Sufferings can draw us closer to each others and other people. Sufferings make us, I guess, our best, or draw out our best, gets the best out of us. Also draws us toward heaven. Sufferings do. Makes us think about going home. Brother Thurman's already mentioned that earlier. One day there'll be a day that we won't have any prayer requests. Won't be any need for any. If you turn to Philippians, that's fine. If you didn't, just stay where you're at. I'll just read here to you. As we see over in Philippians, chapter 1, as I go back over and look, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But for living in flesh is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Verse number 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You think about that as Paul wrote that. And, excuse me. Whew, I think about it as Paul wrote that, what it took to write that. Knowing it was better to leave than to stay. So sometimes our sufferings we have as individuals and as a church make us think about heaven. It make us look up and rejoice. Because as we look here, I got my eyes fogged up. I'll be like my brother's windows now. I'm going to get the defrost out. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all of your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And if you look at prior to that, Paul's talking about his sufferings and what he had to go through, and of course, battling with the flesh. And so hurt draws us to God. It can draw us to others. It makes us our best, pulls out our best from us. But it can also draw us toward heaven and look up and look for what wonderful things we have to look forward to and look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it does, if you think about that, as we read here in Philippians. And one last place, and I'll let you go. And I think I made a note on the back, and I did. Something to be careful of, and we'll end on a warning, I guess. Get my eyes, like I said, to get defrosted up. I saved this one for last, because if you're not careful, and I've seen this before, and you have to guard against this, I think we do, and we have to support each other, and it's hard to do, and I'm talking from experience as well. And without the love of each other, and prayer for each other, sometimes sufferings and hurt can drive us from God and away from God. And that's something we have to be mindful of. Oh, no, you've done told us, and we went over here before, and you've given us examples in Scripture here, and we've talked about the men on the ship and Jonah and how they prayed out to their God, and we mentioned begin to cling to others and look at others a different way, especially once we've been saved and got a burden for the lost, and it brings out our best, and et cetera, and how it makes us think about things of heaven. That's what Paul mentions. And you think about a woman here I'm going to talk about in Job, who lived with Job, but still the statement she made, just from watching someone else suffer, it can drive you away from God. You know, Mark Twain, who very well known and wrote a lot of books, and of course, my children, if you were to ask them who Mark Twain was, they could tell you. Still known today. His daughter one day made the statement, said, "Daddy," I wrote this down, so I remember, said, "Daddy," they'd had dinner in New York with somebody, it seemed like it was a United States senator at the time, and they'd requested to have dinner with him. And so Mark Twain, very famous, said, "Daddy, I bet you know everyone but God." And he made the statement before he died. He said, "This world," he said, "I scoff at such a pitiful world, such a useless universe, and violent, and a contemptible human race." They said the older he got, he wore his unbelief in God more proudly than he did even when he was younger. His wife had died, made him bitter, drove him away against the things of God. But if you wonder, somewhere deep inside that man that wrote all those books and works and that we read, and as his daughter asked that question, said, "Daddy, I bet you know everyone but God." You wonder if it wasn't a lonely, broken heart that was missing something, that was empty. It was all due to his sufferings. And he said, I went back to that one case. His wife had died when she was young. And that left him, I guess, a widower. And he'd gotten bitter over that. And you think about Christ, how he suffered on the cross for us and for our sins and died for us. And for what Mark Twain described, that's the type of world that he died for us for, that we might have salvation. Because if you look at the human race and look at who we are, you know, Billy Mitchell, I know he said, you know, if you have a man or woman, they're down at the, what do you call it, the honky-tonks, I think is what he'd say, or down at the bars on Friday and Saturday nights, he said, that's where man's supposed to be. That's where we go without God. That's where, you know, our flesh takes us. And what did he say? He used to have a saying, he said, we'd be all be stealing cows by morning, or horses or something, he'd say. But you have to be cautious. You have to be careful when sufferings or hurt or maybe a diagnosis comes along your way that you don't want to hear. You have to be careful sometimes that that doesn't drive you away from God. And maybe not you per se. Maybe you're not the person. But maybe it's a family member or a friend, or bitterness doesn't get brought in. I know my mom got bitter for a long time after my dad got diagnosed. She couldn't understand why. So as I read this here in Job, and we'll finish out with that, think about this. Think about Job and Job's life and what all he went through and suffered, and how faithful he was to God, and God faithful to him. And and his wife living with him, seeing this, still a statement she made. So Job chapter 2, verse 9, or verse 8, then we'll go to verse 9, and say, he took up a potsherd to scrape himself with all, and he sat down among the ashes. In other words, he had all these sore boils all over him. And see, she could see that. And God had allowed Satan to cover him with those. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? What do you think about that? So sometimes hurt can draw us, or sufferings can draw us away from God. I hope that's never the case in your life or anyone that you know. But I used the example of Mark Twain there, and I'm sure you've known others that maybe got out of church after something happened in their lives, or a family member got sick or passed away, or maybe a tragic accident. If you're not careful, and maybe it was only for a short period of time, because you ask yourselves, why? Why did that happen? And so that's why this morning as I look and says, why me, Lord? And you may ask that question too. Not necessarily that it's yourself, but your family. Sufferings can draw us toward God. They can draw us to others and to be helpful to others. They can draw out the best in us. They can make us look up toward heaven, as Paul said, and said, look, I'm torn between the two. And I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I can stay here and preach to you guys and you all. That's what he was saying. He said, I love it. But boy, I know what's on the other side too, and I'm just as ready to get there. But for right now, I'll stay with you. I mean, you know, Paul's saying that, thinking about it, and I guess that's why I kind of got fogged up eyes there thinking about him and what he'd been through and all the, you think how many times he'd been stoned and thrown in the ditch and left for dead and imprisoned and shackled and beaten, and he still said, I'm torn betwixt. So sometimes sufferings or hurt can draw us toward God, but whatever we do, not in the case of Job's wife, as you witness or may see things, should we look at that and say, curse God and die? And Job said, no, we can't do that. So this morning, I hope that's, I don't know if that was what you'd call a New Year's 2019 Sunday school lesson, but give us something to think about for this upcoming year, and think about others who are suffering or maybe going through trials in their life, and sometimes they may say or something that might seem out of place or out of character. Just go back and think about some of these. Say, well, what are they going through? Is that what's causing the problem? And until, like I saw with my students this week, until you've worn their shoes, sometimes it's hard to distinguish. All right, you got time to fellowship with each other and gather around and